With Allah's blessed name, we praise Him and we glorify Him as He ought to be praised and glorified. And we pray for peace and for blessings on all His noble messengers, and in particular on the last of them all, the blessed Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. As we greet you, our brothers and sisters here at the Pavilion in East London in Britain, with Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We thank our brother Zubair, our young brother Zubair, for kindly hosting this lecture tonight, an impromptu lecture, which now becomes my last lecture in London before I travel. And there will be no more lecture tours of England. This is the last one. I'm by the moon, I'm now 80 years of age. The sun is different, of course. The moon, I'm 80. So I can't take these long. I've been traveling almost 7 months now, non-stop, at this age. It's not easy. So in the future, I will come only when I'm invited, and wait until I'm in France, and then that will cost only £100-200 for a ticket, and provide me a place to sleep for the night, a hotel room. There's no need for any honorarium. I earn my roti, Zubair says biryani, from the sale of my books. So this is how it will be from now on. I will only come when I'm invited, inshallah. Our topic tonight is on the Ottoman Empire and the conquest of Constantinople. And it is important that we teach our children, teach our people, our history. It's very important for them to be enriched with the knowledge of history. And that part of our history is critically important, the time of the Ottoman Empire. In the process of lecturing on this subject, I will have to take up the subject of war and peace in Islam, of jihad, and what is the law of the Quran pertaining to fighting. I will also have to touch on Gog and Magog. Yes, it is rather unfortunate that those who differ with me on the subject of Gog and Magog, and of course, by all means, you have the right to differ with me, when I offer an interpretation of the Quran or an interpretation of the Hadith, only Allah can confirm that it is correct. And so there should be no boxing match over interpretation, but do not deny me the right to interpret. If my interpretation is correct, then it is truth, and truth will prevail. Truth will prevail. No one can wage war on the truth and succeed. And if my interpretation is wrong, and I have been wrong in the past, then it will be forgotten tomorrow. And so I want to invite them, and I do so respectfully, not with any arrogance. If I am wrong on the subject of Gog and Magog, would you kindly tell me what is right? Is that asking too much? And since the Quran speaks on the subject of Gog and Magog, you must begin your answer with the Quran. That is respect for the Book of Allah. So I invite from the pavilion, I invite my critics, and I do so not in any combative way, not with any arrogance. I do it respectfully and I do it gently. Kindly tell us, what does the Quran say on the subject of Gog and Magog? And then, what does the Hadith tell us about the subject of Gog and Magog, and we await their response. You cannot simply say, I am wrong, and then take this action against me without telling us what is right. So this is my invitation to them tonight from the pavilion, and I hope they will receive it with the spirit in which it is given. It's a scholarly spirit in which I'm inviting them to tell me what is right on the subject of Gog and Magog, if I am wrong. There are other subjects on which people are now up in arms against me. And I want to say the same thing. If you say that I'm wrong on anything, then tell me what is right. Is that asking too much? I think that, alhamdulillah, the people will come to listen to me all over Britain, and I've been traveling all over Britain, are people who think. Alhamdulillah for that. They have thinking minds. And I try to respond to their urge for knowledge. So if you can tell us what is right, then people with thinking minds can make judgment. And so we look forward, inshallah, to their response. Now then, for the Ottoman Empire and the conquest of Constantinople. You know Constantinople. The name has now been changed. And we are told you must not use the word Constantinople anymore. If you use the word Constantinople in that city, you are likely to face consequences. Why this negative approach, negative attitude towards the word Constantinople? What are they afraid about? Why have they changed the name from Istanbul, from Constantinople to Istanbul? I believe I'm right. I believe that I'm right. Let me repeat it one more time. I believe that I'm right. That if Nabi Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam referred to a city by a name, then that is the sunnah to use that name. I believe I am right. And he referred to the city by the name Constantinople. Here is one hadith. He said, لَتَفْتَحَنَّ الْقُنْسْتَنْتِنِيَ. You will most certainly conquer Constantinople. When I went to the State University of Moscow, I heard them saying that they will conquer Constantinople. I had to correct them. No, the Christian world will not do it. Our Prophet has said, we will conquer Constantinople, a Muslim army. لَتَفْتَحَنَّ الْقُنْسْتَنْتِنِيَةِ وَلَنِعْمَ الْأَمِيرُ أَمِيرُهَا وَلَنِعْمَ الْجَيْشُ ذَلِكَ الْجَيْشِ. And he praised the army, and he praised the commander. And therefore this is evidence, proof, that it is sunnah to refer to the city by the name Constantinople. I wrote a book recently. It was perhaps the first book on the subject ever written. I don't know of any other. I am now 80 years of age. I've never heard of any book. The title is Constantinople in the Quran. And it's a small book, and it's outside somewhere where my books are available. And for this book to be written, I had to go into the cold storage department to take the word Constantinople out, to make it back into history, because our people had forgotten the word Constantinople. Alhamdulillah, that book has restored the name Constantinople to the front burner. But when will this conquest take place? I I have consistently turned to the Sunan of Abi Dawood for this hadith, which when you analyze it, you see the hadith being validated by events that are now taking place. What does the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam say? He said, Umranu Bayt al-Maqdis Kharabu Yathrib. That when Bayt al-Maqdis is built up, Bayt al-Maqdis being Jerusalem, and the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasalam is using the analogy of construction, built up, meaning when Jerusalem is center stage, occupying center stage in the world. Kharabu Yathrib. Yathrib, of course, is the name of that city to which Nabi Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam made hijrah from Mecca. And subsequently it was given a second name, Madinatun Nabi. But the name Yathrib has not been destroyed, it's still there. So he said Yathrib will be in a state of destruction, meaning in a state of forlorn desolation, playing no role in the world. There is a contrast between Jerusalem and Medina. And the contrast is that at that time, when Jerusalem is up there, Medina will be down there. When will that come to pass? When will Jerusalem occupy this central position in the world? It could not have been while we Muslims were ruling over Jerusalem. It had to be after Gog and Magog had intervened. And listen now, I speak slowly. I speak with simplicity. I speak, I hope, with clarity, so that no one should have any misunderstanding. It should be easy to understand. Allah speaks in the Quran about a town. He does not identify the town. And he says, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَحَرَامٌ عَلَى قَرْيَةٍ أَهْلَكْنَاهَا أَنَّهُمْ لَا يَرْجِعُونَ. It's a town which he destroyed. The people of the town were expelled. And then a ban was placed upon them, that they could never return to that town. You can come back as tourists, yes, but you cannot return to reclaim the town as your own. وَحَرَامٌ عَلَىٰ قَرْيَةٍ أَهْلَكْنَاهَا أَنَّهُمْ لَا يَرْجِعُونَ. Which town is this? حَتَّى, this is Surah Al-Anbiya, حَتَّى, they will return when? Hatta iza futihat Ya'juj wa Ma'juj. When Gog and Magog are futihat, that is ba'atha, this is futihat. When Gog and Magog are released, and that of course will be a one time event in history. وَهُمْ مِنْ كُلِّ حَدَبٍ يَنْسِلُونَ. And they spread out all over the world in all directions. But they are a people who have been endowed with such power that even Dzulqarnain could not destroy them, could not take them on. Dzulqarnain had to build a barrier, blocks of iron coated with copper, in order to contain them, not to destroy them. They are too powerful for him. And these are a people who have this extraordinary power. No force in the world can manage with this kind of power that they have to resist them. And yet they use their power to oppress. Inna Ya'juj wa Ma'juj mufsidun fil ard. And so when they are released and they spread out in all directions, those who have the capacity to think would recognize this is a one-time event in human history. It never happened before and it will never happen again. Think. Dr. Iqbal says, this ummah stopped thinking 500 years ago. And your brother Imran is here in Britain. I'm from the Caribbean island of Trinidad. I'm here only to invite you to think, nothing else. That's all, just invite you to think. Because I was this teacher, the student of a blessed scholar, Maulana Dr. Muhammad Fadlur Rahman Ansari, who trained me to think. This is a one-time event when a people with indestructible power, only Allah can destroy them, and use power, who use power to oppress and to corrupt, will spread out all over the world. Only once in history will it occur. Will you not think? And when they do so, then they will bring these people back to this town. Which town is it? It is as plain as daylight to all that the town is Jerusalem. But because we are interpreting the Quran, and only Allah can confirm an interpretation, we must be humble to say Allah knows best. And there is no need for any boxing match, any fighting and over an interpretation. If this is the truth, no one can stop it. It will survive. And if it is wrong, it will be forgotten tomorrow. So when the Jews were brought back to Jerusalem by Gog and Magog, and then a state of Israel was restored in Jerusalem, and that state of Israel, they told us, and it was a lie. These people tell monstrous lies. 9/11 was just one of the lies. Now you know my profile? Yes. When it is true and just, I stand up for it. And when it is false and unjust and it's a lie, I stand up against it, because Allah gave that mission to me and to you. أمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر. They said, we all that we want to do is to bring a people to a land who don't have a place to live. That's all the justification for returning the Jews to Jerusalem. But that was a lie. They brought the Jews back to the Holy Land, to Jerusalem, so that a state of Israel could be established in the Holy Land and eventually rule the world. That is the truth. And when Israel becomes a ruling state in the world, which of course will be after the Melhama, which is around the corner, then someone will stand up in Jerusalem and declare, I am the Messiah, when of course he would be the false Messiah. He would be the judge. Even a schoolboy now understands the subject. Even a schoolboy now understands this subject. Because even schoolboys can think. So when Jerusalem is center stage, as it now is, it was not center stage in 1452. It was not center stage in the 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th century. It is now center stage when Donald Trump recognizes Jerusalem as the capital of the state of Israel. When Jerusalem is center stage, look and see what is the status of Medina. Nothing in forlorn dissolution. So this hadith is being validated by events which are in concrete history. Then said the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, قَرَبُ يَتْرِبْ كُرُوجُ الْمَلْحَمَةِ. When Medina is in forlorn desolation and Jerusalem is the center stage in the world, at that time the next event to come would be the Great War. And even schoolboys now recognize that the Great War is around the corner. I'm sorry to be using the word schoolboys so often, but I have to do it because of this strange and mysterious war being waged against me by people who don't think. So I have to use the term schoolboy. I hope it is not offensive to them, but I have to defend the truth and try to do it in a gentle way. The Great War is described in the Hadith as the Malhama. The Great War is described in their scriptures as Armageddon. And we know about the Great War, that it'll be fought for a mountain of gold. We know that the Great War will be one in which 99% of all those who are fighting, who are combatants, will be killed fighting for the mountain of gold. But we don't have the time tonight to take you to the mountain of gold in Sahih Bukhari. We've done that in other lectures, not for tonight. We know from the Hadith that the Great War is going to be, will commence in the north of Syria. And we know now, the writing is on the wall, that the reason why the Great War will commence in Syria is because a Russian military presence in Syria poses a threat to the state of Israel. Is that so difficult to understand? And so all the pawns being moved around in the chessboard is meant to eventually lead to a war which will attempt to remove Russia from Syria. Because the Russian military presence in Syria poses a threat to Israel. Then said the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, the Great War is not going to destroy all of mankind. There's never been a nuclear war in history. So there are no experts. The only branch of knowledge which can deal with the Great War is eschatology, in Mu'akhir al-Zaman. So why this fear of this branch of knowledge? And why this demonization of this branch of knowledge? The great war will not destroy all of mankind. Why? Because after the great war, there will still be a state of Israel. And that state of Israel must now make a claim for Pax Judaica. It began with Pax Britannica. It went to Pax Americana. And it seeks to conclude with Pax Judaica. I have studied international relations, international politics, in two universities. And I've also studied it from the Quran. And I have come to the conclusion that these three stages in our recent world history, Pax Britannica, Pax Americana, and Pax Judaica, are connected with each other. And they represent the Dajjal's effort to eventually rule the world from Jerusalem. I have interpreted Surah Al-Mursalat of the Quran. This is my interpretation. In Taliku ila zillin zi salasi shu'ab, proceed to a shadow which will emerge in three parts. And these are the three parts. And when the third part has emerged, the shadow is gone and the real person now emerges, Al-Masih al-Dajjal. But Allah knows best. No need to fight over interpretation. We know that the great war will not destroy the whole world, not only because there will still be an Israel waging war to take control of all the territory from the river of Egypt, the Nile, to the river Euphrates, all of that, because that's what the Bible says. But also because our Prophet said, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and the world of political scientists must be stunned at this time. Whether you're in Princeton or in Yale or in Harvard or in Oxford or in Cambridge or in the Sorbonne, whether you're military analysts or strategic analysts, they are stunned by the words of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, who said, Khuruj al-Malhama Fath al-Constantinia, that after the Great War, the Malhama, the next event to occur would be the conquest of Constantinople. And he praised the army and he praised the commander. So no, don't come to this nonsense that all of mankind will be destroyed in the Great War. No, in fact, when we go to Surah Al-Rahman of the Quran, we realize it's modern Western civilization which will be destroyed in the Great War. But that's not our topic tonight. He then finally said, Fath al-Constantinia, Khuruj al-Dajjal, that after the conquest of Constantinople, the last event to occur would that the shadow will now disappear. In Taliku ila zillin zi thalasi shu'ab, the shadow will now disappear and Dajjal will appear himself in person. But that's not our subject for tonight. I have two books on Dajjal already and more to be written. What we are concerned with tonight is the conquest of Constantinople by the Ottoman Empire in the year 1452. The Ottoman Empire did many good things. And in other lectures, I have mentioned the things that this Ottoman Empire did. Saudi Arabia, led by a treacherous regime, also has done good things. But it's not for me to first mention the good things that they did before I criticize them. That's for schoolboys. The Ottoman Empire claimed, and that claim has remained unchallenged for 600 years. Islamic scholarship never challenged it, that the conquest of Constantinople in 1452 by the Sultan Muhammad Fatih was the realization or the fulfillment of the prophecy of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that is false. It is manifestly false. We don't need to spend time on it. And yet, our people have been so thoroughly brainwashed that they cannot see, they cannot hear, they cannot think. And they idolize Sultan Muhammad Fatih. This is the man our Prophet praised. And that was the army he praised. And after 600 years, we are now challenging that. But there are other scholars to come after me, yes. Mine is just a small voice. But there's a scholarship that is coming. I will not be here. I will be in my grave. But our Prophet said, he said that my ummah is like the rain. I do not know which shower is better, the first or the last. We're planting the seeds for that scholarship to come tomorrow, which will dazzle the world when we point out that that's a lie, that's false. The conquest of Constantinople, prophesied by Nabi Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, is still to come. And they can't stop it. It will come after the Malhamah. In the Sunan of Abi Dawood, he provides two hadith, and I quoted them in my book, Constantinople in the Quran. One, that the conquest of Constantinople will take place 7 months after the Malhamah. And the second hadith, that it will take place 7 years after the Malhamah. And Abu Dawood offers his opinion that this second view is the more sound view, 7 years. But even so, 7 years is a short period of time. We don't have long to wait for the Malhamah, in which modern Western civilization will be destroyed. It will not play anything other than a minor role in history after the Malhamah. And shortly after that, just a few years, the conquest of Constantinople. So we don't have long to wait to see who is right and who is wrong on the subject. When we turn now to the conquest of Constantinople by Sultan Muhammad Fatih in 1452, we have to ask the question, what is the philosophy of war in Islam? Oh, but I thought Islam means peace. Peace, that's the name of the word, peace. And when we offer salams, we offer a greeting of peace. And Allah calls, Allahu yad'u ila dari salam. We want to build in the world a regime of peace, an international order, a conception of an international order based on peace, not on war. We are a people of peace, not of war. We are not anxious to meet the enemy on the battlefield, no. And when we meet the enemy on the battlefield, we wait until they kill one of our men. And then we place the body before them and we say, is there no better way for us to solve the problem between us like this? This is the Prophet's hadith. And so when we fight, the Quran gives us permission to fight. When we are victims of aggression, and then we fight. So if India were to launch a lightning strike on Karakoram, to land their troops on Karakoram to get a bridgehead within, you know, 2 to 3 days, that's all. And then get their friends in the Security Council, come, we want it now, quick, a resolution from the Security Council, ceasefire. We are the Security Council. When we say sit down, you must sit down. When we say stand up, you must stand up. Is this where the Ummah of Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam has reached, this pathetic, miserable, shameful state? That when the Security Council says stand up, we have to stand up. Sit down, we have to sit down. Cease fire. And India gets a bridgehead, and Pakistan has to stop. That's rubbish. That's rubbish. When you are victims of aggression, you have the right to fight. And no Security Council can stand in the way. That is Islam. And when we fight and we defeat you, we take control of your territory, because you started the fight. But we're not happy to fight. I wish I had the time to take you to the Islamic conception of an international order. Darul Islam, Darul Ahad, Darul Harb. But we don't have the time now. The second reason why we fight is when a people are oppressed and they invite us, they call on us to come and liberate them from oppression, then we respond to their cries to fight. These are the two instances in which we are allowed to fight. Where did this nonsense come from? That Islam came into the world, and this, the Ummah of Nabi Muhammad والسلام, came to the world to wage endless war, to conquer the whole world and subjugate the whole world to the rule of the Ummah of Muhammad. I don't know where this rubbish came from. And they take selectively one verse of the Quran, the way schoolboys do, to build their case, but we don't have time to deal with them tonight. Allah says in the Quran that when the enemy inclines to peace, you must reciprocate. You cannot fight against an enemy who is asking for peace. Is this so difficult to understand? The Ottoman Empire had been reduced to only one city, Constantinople. The Patriarch had about 7,000 to 9,000 men to defend the city. The Ottoman army surrounded the city with 200,000 men. That's 1452. And the Constantinople, the Patriarch in Constantinople was asking for peace. We are prepared to continue to pay the tribute that we've been paying in the past. But Sultan Muhammad Fateh chose to violate Allah's command in the Quran and to wage war against an opponent which is asking for peace. And that was wrong. And that caused great injury and pain and suffering. And the conquest of Constantinople, which is coming, will be coming in order to respond to that pain and suffering imposed by what Sultan Muhammad Fateh did. Secondly, Allah makes it obligatory in the Quran that we, the Ummah of Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, must not only respect the churches and the cathedrals and the synagogues, but we must fight to protect them and the masajid. And so when the Sultan conquered Constantinople and he took the greatest cathedral of the Orthodox Christian world, Hagia Sophia, which had remained as the greatest cathedral for 1,000 years, and he transformed it into a masjid. This was a violation of Allah's command in the Quran. It was shameful. It was disgraceful. It was manifestly sinful. And we do not conduct our affairs on the basis of tit for tat. They took ours, we take theirs. Then we are just a pack of hoodlums. We have to be faithful to the guidance in the Quran and set an example for mankind. Shuhada ala nas. This is the role of the Ummah. And so it is clear that the conquest of Constantinople by the Ottoman Empire in 1452 could not have fulfilled the prophecy of Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. What now remains? What remains is for us to explain why there will be a conquest of Constantinople coming in the future. I know the whole of Turkey is up in arms against me. The whole of the Balkans, Albania, Bosnia, all, they're up in arms against me because of 600 years of brainwashing. But I say to them, if it is the truth, it will survive. You cannot wage war on the truth. The truth will survive. My view, and Allah knows best, is that when Allah spoke in the Quran in Surah Al-Ma'idah, and the fi'l mudari'a is both the present and the future in Arabic grammar, and he says, وَلَتَجِدَنَّ أَقْرَبَهُمْ مَوَدَّةً لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّا نَصَارَى, that at that time when the Jews are most hostile to you, which occurred at the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and which is recurring now, and at that time when the people of shirk were most hostile to you, which occurred at the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and is now recurring with modern Western civilization, Allah says, at that time you will find a people who will be closest in love and affection for you, to be a people who will proclaim, we are Christians. How will we recognize them? ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ مِنْهُمْ كِسِّسِينَ وَرُهْبَانَ وَأَنَّهُمْ لَا يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ. You recognize them because they have the institution of the priesthood intact. The priest still occupies a position of eminence in society, respected. And they still have the institution of monasticism. They treasure the monastery, the monastic way of life. And finally, they are not an arrogant people. They don't want to rule the world. They don't want to force Russia, bend your knee. Force China, bend your knee. Force Venezuela, bend your knee. And yesterday, Bolivia. Bolivia, Evo Morales, my next door neighbor from Trinidad. They are not like that. They are not an arrogant people who want to impose their rule over all of mankind, hook or crook. So this couldn't be Western Christianity. There are another Christian people who treasure the monastery. And they will be a people who will follow Nabi Isa alayhi salam. And these people will be closest in love and affection for us. This is in the Quran. Who are those Christians who will show greatest love and affection for us? When Nabi Isa alayhi salam was to be crucified, he did not know what's going to happen. But Allah spoke to him, and the conversation is recorded in the Quran. Nabi Isa alayhi salam is listening, and Allah speaks, Ya Isa, O Jesus alayhi salam, Inni mutawaffika wa rafi'uka ilayya wa mutahhiruka min alladhina kafaru وَجَعِلُوا الَّذِينَ تَبَعُوكَ فَوْكَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ They will not kill you, they will not crucify you. I will raise you. And I will cleanse you of the kufr they hold against you. And I will cause those who follow you to be raised to a position of dominance over this other group. And when I raise them to that position of dominance, they will remain there until the end of the world. وَجَعِلُوا الَّذِينَ تَبَعُوكَ فَوْكَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ إِلَى آخِرِ الْآيَةِ My opinion, and Allah knows best, is Allah is speaking about the Orthodox Christian world. But there are others who say to me, no Sheikh, you need to study that part of Christianity some more. And they're pointing to other groups in the Christian world, not the Western world of course. But there's only one part of the Orthodox, of the Christian world, which is not Western, which is showing power, and that's Russia. And this is Russia after the fall of communism and after the Soviet Union, the atheist Soviet Union folded its tent and walked away into the darkness of the night. Russia has now become so powerful the military force. The evidence is here that the United States has intervened helter-skelter all over the Caribbean and all over South America and Central America for 200 years now, but dares not intervene in Venezuela. They've tried everything they could try to unseat the Venezuelan government, and they failed because the Venezuelan military has remained faithful to Hugo Chavez and Maduro. The Bolivian military have sold out, but not the Venezuelan. The United States cannot intervene, because if you intervene, it's war with Russia, and they don't want war with Russia. Here is the evidence of the power that Russia now wields. And so my view, and Allah knows best, is that we will conquer Constantinople after the Malhama, so that we can make amends for what was done in 1452. The pain of what happened in 1452 and since then has been so great. The wound has been bleeding for so long that we organized a dinner in Leeds and invited members of the Greek Orthodox Christian community, come join us for dinner. Nobody came. Nobody came. Only my Greek Orthodox friend who extended the invitation, he, his wife, his children were there. but all the other Orthodox Christians never came. That's how great the pain and suffering is still there. Still there. I hope that my book, Constantinople in the Quran, will do something to help to remove that pain and suffering. And so my view is that we will conquer Constantinople so that we can return Hagia Sophia to the Orthodox Christian world. So who will fight? And who will we fight against? My view is that those who will be fighting will be the people who are fighting to return the cathedral, and will be fighting against those who refuse to return the cathedral. That's what the world will be about. And when we return Hagia Sophia to the Orthodox Christian world, and we apologize to them what was done to the cathedral, and the name of the city is restored to the name used by Nabi Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, to Constantinople. My view, I may be in my grave at that time, my view is that that entire Orthodox Christian world will then become closest in love and affection for the Ummah of Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. And praise is due to Allah. I ask you to kindly read my book, Constantinople in the Quran. I ask you, whenever I have given my opinion, please do not accept my opinion unless you are convinced that it is correct. This is my respect for your intellect. رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا يَا مُولَانَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ آمِينَ